Hey, everybody. Welcome to Truth Unbound, and I'm your host, Walter Swaim. So you remember, right? Before COVID, you'd get the kids up on Sunday morning. You made sure they got their bowl of cereal, that they get cleaned up. Everybody's tussling over the bathroom and all that, you know, rigmarole going on in the house. And finally, everybody gets dressed. You get them into the car. You get on to the church. But on the way to church, somebody realizes they put two different color shoes on, or there was a Bible that somebody forgot. And so everybody goes back to the house, you get the Bible, you all fuss over it. And then you get back, you finally get to church, and mom cleans everybody up the last second and sends the kids off into Sunday school. And everybody gets into church, and they begin to worship together. Then afterwards, start talking with everybody and catching up with your brothers and sisters in Christ, what's going on. Maybe you have prayer together, different things like that. Then everybody goes to lunch, either at home or goes out to eat. And then it's just a great experience in the end. And you get home and then do all that. And then you take a nap and you enjoy the rest of the day, just resting and enjoying each other, doing some fun and relaxing things together. But now, after all this time of COVID, not so much. So, can we talk about that? Hey, everybody, I am so glad that you joined us again today. And if you would do this, if you want to know more about God's Word and it's Him speaking into the issues and things and of life and of the church and of theology and of the culture, then this is where you want to be, and you want to invite others to be with you. So hit the like button. And then also, if you would hit the subscribe button, get all notifications in there that you can so you know the latest when it comes out, and then share it with everybody you can. And also comment. I want to hear from you. Well, anyway, let's get right to the subject at hand. It's a good one today. Hey, everybody. Thank you again for joining us. I'm so glad that you're here. And do you remember that verse in the Bible in Hebrews chapter 10? Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25. And it says this: "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Now, I know that this commentary today will be misunderstood by some. I understand that. I get it. But, well, here it goes. With COVID receding dramatically, at least here in most of the parts of the U.S., follower of Jesus, it is okay now to get back to church, to be back with your church family, and whether it's on the worship services on Sunday or outreach activities or ministry meetings together to plan and prepare and to go out and to reach people for Christ and to make disciples of Jesus, it's okay to get back to it. You can do it. And let's talk about that. I know you've heard this verse a million times over in your time in church, but I hope that after today you might see it in a different light, that you might understand it more deeply, and it has more meaning to you than it ever has before. And especially I hope that after this brief broadcast today or podcast, that after the last year with church closings and limitations on how we can do church altogether in the public practice of our faith due to COVID, that you would be awakened to what church life really is, just a little bit more than ever before maybe, and what privilege and responsibility you have as a part of that church. I want to bring to you, to your attention, an article. It was in Christianity Today, and this was just a couple weeks ago here in May. It's entitled "Church Decline and Recovery During COVID-19. It says here, "Are people going to return to church after COVID? This question on the minds of pastors everywhere is at the heart of the national COVID-19 church attendance project." So they did a survey, and this is what they did. Now, let me just highlight a few of these things. It was a collaboration of Wheaton College Exponential Outreach and the Wheaton College Billy Graham Center. Our initial survey represents the experience of more than 600 churches, over 400,000 weekly worshipers geographically covering 47 states and the District of Columbia. Now, looking farther down, it says, "Among churches surveyed, in-person attendance has suffered dramatically. At the peak of COVID in January of 2021, in-person attendance had fallen by 60%. compared to January of the preceding year. This means that for every 10 people attending in person the prior year, only 4 were attending in person in January of 2021. And then they talk about here in January of 2020, 1 in 7 weekend congregants were remote. A year later, almost 6 in 10 people were attending remotely through the remote type of like live streaming, such as on Facebook Live or through a website service. But then it talks about in January of 2021, in-person church attendance was a meager 40% of the preceding year. Just 3 months later, that number had risen to 57% of the pre-pandemic crowd. Even better, much of this represents increased engagement by parishioners. While we have seen remote attendance begin to drop, the increase in physically present worshipers has more than offset the decrease. In August of 2020, Tom Rainier predicted that roughly 20 to 30% of church members would not return to church after the pandemic. Thankfully, we have reason to believe that may have been pessimistic. Among churches surveyed as of January 2021, combined in-person and remote attendance was just over 80% of pre-pandemic levels. By April 2021, this had increased to 91%. And then they add the uptick for both in-person and total attendance in the last 3 months is encouraging. The coming months are critical for the post-COVID return and defining the new normal. We need to be encouraging people to come back to the church when the time is right. And so, interesting observation there. But on the ground, at least what a lot of us are seeing locally and what I'm seeing, this is even still a little too optimistic yet. And I guess that's why they added it's crucial to see in the next coming months just how crucial it will be as to how many people actually come back to physically being in attendance at their church, especially when you see gaping holes in chair sections in the building during worship services and even volunteer meetings trying to get ready for activities of outreach and other things. In my church, it seems to be running about 60% where it was before COVID, including new families that have attended. But let me get back to the issue right at hand. Why is it that so many have not returned? Maybe you haven't returned to church yet. Why is that? Now, I want to put in a disclaimer right here as well. For some, not being in church is simply due to the fact that they're caring for a loved one who is terminally ill at home or needing help or waiting to get the green light, if you will, from their physician to be able to go back to church physically. For some, their work travel is ramped up again. And for others, they have simply relocated to another place and they've not found a church home yet. And similar reasons to those. Those things are not even on the radar here as to what we're discussing. So just shut that out completely. In fact, you might just turn the podcast off after this statement and this disclaimer because you're one of those. That's totally understandable. So that's not what we're discussing. But on the other hand, there are some who profess to believe in and follow the Lord Jesus Christ, yet they are still, even some of them, if not most of them, are vaccinated. And restrictions such as masks and meeting together, etc., are lowered or completely eliminated by now in their area. Yet they've chosen not to return to church on Sundays especially, not yet, for other motives. In a word, maybe it's just too convenient or they've just gotten too comfortable with other habits. You might be saying, well, I'm just waiting till I get the vaccine. Or you might be saying, I'm just playing it safe still. I'm still uncomfortable with going back. Or maybe you're saying it's the only day I can sleep in and catch up on all the honeydews around the house that need to be done. You're the one that I'm trying to have this conversation with right now. I'm not beating you over the head with a Bible and browbeating you with theology and guilt and all those things. It's to have a conversation. And if you'll have an open heart and an open mind and to the Spirit's leading to obey Jesus and serve Him in a new way, you might be able to see this in a different light and your heart might turn to saying, you know what, we need to get back. I've also seen article after article, podcast, listen to podcast after podcast by church growth gurus, if you will, that say to embrace the new normal, that it's all mostly by online video and you should be doing just hybrid or just video or whatever. And they're saying that people just aren't going to come back at all. They've moved on, and to major on your online presence more than anything else. I admit I tend to be kind of a rebel in a way, at least partly, because the way I perceive the role, especially as a pastor, is that I'm shepherding an entire flock. I'm there to lead all of the flock and not let the sheep wander off to where they could get hurt spiritually and emotionally, and then just look the other way and just let them keep going, not without making, at least at making the effort to call them back to the fold, to walk in the same direction together. Let's look at that verse again. The writer of Hebrews says, "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Did you catch it? Let us, one another, ourselves, together, one another. You see, the church is not a place that you go to. It's not a social event that you attend like any other thing, whether it be a ball game or a gathering of some type, maybe a concert. It's not another event where there's something going on stage that you just simply watch and you don't have to really connect to or do anything with at the moment. And it's not just attending another TED Talk either. All of that you can get on YouTube, you can get on podcasts, you can listen to it while you're driving, while you're working, while you're jogging. What it is describing, well, it's describing family. It's describing a church family, an interdependent group of individuals in Christ that are literally spiritually related to one another 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and from now throughout eternity. Church is not a place where you just fill a building or you warm up a chair, or it's a place to get the kids out of your hair for an hour or so. Church is a family. It is a community. It's a community that serves together, worships together, and yes, in a physical setting on a regular and faithful basis. It's not about me. It's not about just my family and what we want to do. As believers, followers, and brothers and sisters in Christ as a body, it's about us. It's about others. It's about what is so much bigger than just me and my family. It has eternal value. Yes, there are new horizons caused for the church on video like never before. It caused us to be forced to use it, and we embrace it. At our church, we embrace it. We still continue our midweek life group, not at the church on Sunday, but midweek online in a Zoom meeting. In our church on Sunday, it's a hybrid, and where both people are physically there and watching on video. And there's some special ministry efforts that we're doing just on video. So we embrace that. But it's not the full thing. It's a tool. And that tool is to, for instance, to help those who literally, legitimately cannot be at the service. Not that they don't want to be, but they can't be. It's also a tool that we can invite others to look at and to watch, whether it's on their phone or their laptop or they cast it onto their smart TV, whatever, where they're trying to check out the truth of God. They're trying to check out a church. And a lot of times now that's done online, and we embrace that. It's an aid as well for discipleship. But yet there's so much that you can't get by watching remotely, isolated away from the church online. You can't put your hand on the shoulder of another brother and sister in Christ who's going through a lot and that you're praying with at the moment, and maybe even sharing a tear together. You're not kneeling together. You're not sitting together in unity before God and maybe in prayer or in worship. Children can't fulfill the need for their sensory experiences together around the teachings of Christ, using bright colors and projects together in Sunday school and dancing and clapping together with the music in church and with just themselves together as well, and having adults love on them and hug on them and high fives and fist bumps and all that, and guiding them to Jesus. You can't get that online entirely. There's just something about being in the same room and energized by that same guy that says amen when the preacher seems to hit it right on the button. It's something that's just presence physically cannot be reached just by being online and just watching something remotely. I know this might be a little bit of a stretch, but you remember what God said after he created Adam? And I know there's much more theological meaning to this, but think about this. He said, it is not good that man be alone. Now, obviously, he was talking about companionship, and he brought him, created the woman, brought him to him. But the point is that he has made us communal. He's made us community-desiring people. Another element in this, too, is that there's a certain discipline in getting together physically. It removes the distractions. You know what they are. When you're live streaming or watching the recording, you could turn the speaker off to clock in on the meetings, just to show you that you're there. Or phone calls and texts come in, and so you have to walk away, talk to somebody, or you pause. And if it's live, you're going to miss something. Someone coming in the room and interrupting. It could be something like working on something else while you're watching at the same time, kinda, or walking off to do other stuff, missing part of it and coming back. You say, well, it's recorded, I can watch it later. But yeah, but do you really watch it all later? And why is that? It's because there's just something about being next to somebody that helps you stay focused on what's the real reason for being there. And so you tend to focus more on it. That is one reason he says in that verse, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Literally, that word that stir up means to actually be an annoyance, to actually bother somebody about this. In other words, stir them up, provoke them to, as it says in the King James Version, to love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting or encouraging, urging one another. We keep each other sharp, encouraged, and busy about the Lord's work. And yes, we can do that online, but there's something different about being physically there. I can remember, boy, this will date me, but when the original first Rocky movie came out, oh, I loved that film, still do. And when it came out, me and a buddy got to go to the Dollar Theater and see it. After it had been a lot of the more expensive ticket theaters before, and it got down to the Dollar Theater, and I finally got to see it. And I remember being in that theater, you thought you were in an actual boxing arena. People screamed, people cheered, they high-fived each other, they're shouting, they're cheering, and crying too, Adrian, and not even knowing each other. It was so cool. And here it is, this is probably 40 plus years later, and I can remember it like it was yesterday. I still feel that. But watching it on TV later, just alone with myself, it just wasn't the same. You know what I mean. Well, church gatherings are family gatherings, and only so much can be done through media usage. Think about it. If your family gets together on a regular basis, let's say every week at a certain time, to do certain things like eat a meal together or have a certain activity together, but then all of a sudden you've just stopped coming for weeks on end like you used to, how do you think they would feel? And how would you feel knowing what they feel? And it just kind of constantly nags you. You kind of get the picture. Most of all, the most important reason getting back to physical church gatherings is, and why it's so crucial, is because Jesus is there. Now at that point you go, whoa, stop right there, Wald. I got you on that one. Jesus is with us wherever we go, and not just in church. You are so right. You've nailed it. But he is also saying here that when he calls everyone together, which, by the way, the church, the word church is translated from the Greek, and the Greek word literally means a called out assembly. It's what they would call groups of people when the citizens were called out, for instance, out to the city square, and the herald would unroll the announcement and read it to everybody in the square. They had to be there together. That's what church, literally the word church, means. But when he calls us together, then he is there. But we have to be there too, physically, to experience his presence there at that place and time. It's not about, again, like I said before, it's not about filling a building. It's not about warming a chair. You could be in an open park. It doesn't matter where it's at. It's about being together and being together on a regular, frequent basis. I often wonder, Think about this and wonder this too with me. Why didn't Jesus come now in modern times when to spread the gospel and to begin the restoring of his kingdom on earth, when instant coverage worldwide on the web and phones and even in the most poorest areas of the world is instantly available? Think about it. Why didn't he come now? Instead, he came back in ancient times, ancient to us now, where those things were not even thought of then. They were an impossibility. And there's another thing too, especially if you're a parent, brother or sister in Christ, you are the priest, if you will, of your family. In other words, you are the spiritual leaders in your home. Mom and dad, you are setting the spiritual example and legacy that your kids will or will not carry on in their own lives. If faithfully gathering as a church is not a priority set by you, then it just won't be a priority set by them. It will set them as an entire generation removed from that spiritual discipline and practice that helps them engage with others in their faith and to help them love and serve Jesus together with others and building up their own faith and not just depending on yours. Church will just be a YouTube channel to them. It'll just be something else that they can watch once in a while, even if that. So could I just ask this? Before the Lord, would you ask these questions yourself privately and maybe as a husband and a wife, as a mom and dad together? Am I just wanting convenience and wanting God to come around to me on my schedule whenever I feel like I need him? Or am I coordinating and complementing my life around the body of Christ of which I am a part already, working together with them for Jesus and to worship him together with him and serve him together? Am I asking the church to serve me, or am I trying to serve my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, the church? And yes, embrace live stream, but embrace it as an added tool, not the main event. Use it as a tool as well to invite your friends and others to be introduced to the church, not just through the website or the Facebook page, but to actually watch it through our Facebook page and to be introduced and hear the Word of God and see if what they're seeking out is right there in the middle of what we're saying and doing right there in that church service. It's a kind of an introductory thing that they can be a part of. Well, I hope that you took this with the right spirit. I hope that you really think this through and take it before the Lord. I hope maybe you've learned something new, especially about that verse, and that it really means more to you now. To be honest, as to your reasons why, convicted by the Holy Spirit, take it to him. If you're like, man, we've blown it. We really need to get back. Then just ask the Lord's forgiveness. He'll give it to you and he will fill you up and get you excited about it. Set that clock for Sunday morning right now and let the family know vacation time from church is over. And we'll see you Sunday at church. Just remember, if you follow Jesus, you'll follow the truth.